for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, August the 31st, 2001, Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. John Fletcher of Indiana is the speaker of the evening.
The event is Brownsburg, Indiana, which is about 11 miles west of Indianapolis, and it's about 15,000 people, speaking of populations, and the town that our church is in, which is about another 8 miles west of Brownsburg, is Lisdon, Indiana, and it has a population of 15. That's not funny. 15.
That is funny.
Yeah, they're all in one now. No, it's about 500, I think.
That's like an old town.
Well, praise the Lord. No, I really didn't. I believe it. He has done more to build our church. I wish I had time to tell a story about a lady come up one time and said, "Well, you know, Doc sent us here." I say, Doc, who's Doc? Well, you know, Doc. Yeah, and there's no doctor in my congregation. I'm trying to say, Doc, who's that? And a real good friend of mine is a medical doctor. And I said, you mean Ray Howe? And, no, you know, Doc. And I didn't know where he practiced all the time. You know, Doc, out there in Kansas. Anyway, somehow or another, he sent her up to she lived up in that area. And then he sent two other people up there. So, praise the Lord. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 4. I'm not certain whether it had to do with anything, but chapter 4. There were two hunters from Indiana, and they were out hunting one day. And they were down in Kentucky hunting. And they were walking along, and all of a sudden one of the fellows kind of went, and he gasped, and his eyes rolled back in his head, and he fell over. And the fellow that was hunting with him looked down at him and said, "Oh, my goodness." And he got his cell phone out, and he called 911. And the voice came on, says, "This is 911. Says, my partner is dead." And this calm, soothing voice said, "Now, just be careful now. Take it easy." He said, we're here to help you. Now, let's make sure he's dead first, okay? Okay, and there was silence, and all of a sudden there was a gunshot. And the guy comes back and says, "Okay, now what?" Second Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel was troubled. Now Saul's son, Jonathan, had two men who were captains of troops. The name of one was Baana, and the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Reman, the Be'erothite. Everybody say Be'erothite. Of the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth was part of Benjamin. Because the Be'erothite fled to Gittim and have been sojourners there until this day. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. Now that word in the original language is crippled, and it literally means the young fellow couldn't walk anymore. We had up in our area, there was a young lady who goes to the Christian school that my daughters go to. She was in a camp 2 summers ago, and she fell about, I don't know, 6-7 foot off a hay mound, and she's paralyzed from the neck down to this day. So we know those things happen. And his name was Mephibosheth. Would everyone say Mephibosheth 10 times real fast? Yeah. Now, turning your Bibles, I want to go through the whole story here of Mephibosheth. And then I want to come back, and I want to kind of explain a little bit and then apply it, okay? So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. So far we have Mephibosheth. He's 5 years old. He's the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul the king, and he is now crippled. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. It is somewhere between 15 to probably 25 years later, because Mephibosheth now has his own son. David is enthroned in Israel. And it says, now David said, is there still anyone who is left to the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Now, don't miss that. David is about to show someone the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's son. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Father, I ask you, Lord, to touch your word tonight, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to bring forth a word into our hearts that will forever change us, that will set those that need to be free, Lord, free. And Father, I'm of the opinion that we all need to be set free of something. So, Lord, let your word go forth tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm sure that most of you have heard messages about Mephibosheth. I know up to this point there is a real obvious correlation here between us and our salvation. I want you to kind of get in this young man's head, though. He is destined for royalty. His grandfather is king. His father is going to be king. He has a good chance of being king. He'll be at the very least a prince in this nation. And yet, as was very common in those days, when a king was disposed of, the warriors of the new king would go in and would kill the sons so they would not have to deal with them later on down the road. This nurse, this woman that was a primary caretaker of Mephibosheth, probably running for her life, but thinking of the child, picked him up, trying to save him. And as she was running, knowing what would happen to him, she dropped him. And whatever happened, something happened to him physically, and he was crippled. David, of course, had no intention of killing him. Didn't even know it was a lie. Mephibosheth, from the age of 5 until, let's say for the sake of argument, the age of 25, is living off of welfare of some other man named Machir. Destined for royalty, now crippled, now living off the welfare of someone else as they would give to him. And one day, here is this crippled man and he gets a call. King David wants to see you. He goes into the king's chambers. Someone has to pick him up and carry him in there because he can't walk in there himself. And they didn't have motorized electric chairs in those days. They set him down, and David says, I'm going to restore your inheritance to you, and you're going to eat at my table from now on continually. Can you imagine what must have been going through this man's mind? The first thing we know he says is, why me? I'm just a dead dog. But as time would go on, the reality of what had happened to him would begin to sink in. Can you imagine the kind of loyalty that he must have had toward David, the kind of praise and thanksgiving you would think he would have had toward David? Crippled, living off welfare, someone else's generosity, and all of a sudden, that inheritance which was his, destined for his in the beginning, is given to him. He has servants. He would have eaten at the king's table all the days of his life if Saul and then Jonathan and then he or one of his brothers had become king or his uncle. And now he gets to do that again. Talking to the king about the affairs of state. Talking to the king about things in the family. His family. David's family. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Ephesians says that we were alienated from God. We were without God. We were without hope. We were strangers from the promises and covenants of Israel. We were dead dogs. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, as Sister Coffey said this afternoon. Several months ago, the Lord spoke to me. And I had been praying for a couple of hours, and it was on a Saturday night, and I already had a sermon prepared that I thought the Lord had given to me. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "My people..." And He was talking about the church that I minister to, but He was also talking about the church in America. And He said, "My people, most of them do not know who they are in me." And He began to give me week after week after week after week after week messages to exhort, encourage, build up His people there in my church. A few weeks ago, I was watching a Benny Hinn show on our television set, and his brother was on. It wasn't Sammy. I can't think of the other fellow's name now. But Billy. Bill, who?
Billy.
Billy, yeah.
Willie.
Okay. Yeah, that was it, I think. Anyway. And he talked about how he had preached for years. And he said, "There were times that I questioned whether I was saved or not. But I'd get up and I'd preach." And he said, it finally got so bad that I won't go into the whole story, but the essence of it is God took all of his preaching engagements away from him for 2 years without any money coming in. Have you heard this story? Without any money coming in, he just sat and waited on God and prayed. And he said, "I felt dry, destitute, didn't want to pray, didn't want to preach, didn't want to do nothing." And God began to show him who he was in Jesus Christ. And he told Benny, as he was sitting there talking, he says, "You know, I have one mission in life right now as I preach, and that is to show the church of Christ who they are in Christ." And I was so thrilled to have someone of the wisdom, and not blowing her up. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, you know, don't say those things." But someone of the wisdom of Mildred Coffey that said that God has shown her the same thing. And I've heard of so many places recently of people, pastors and evangelists saying the same thing. It's just over and over again. The people don't know who. They don't know who they are in Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. As was pointed out this afternoon in Romans 5. You were an enemy of God. Have you ever thought of yourself as an enemy of God? Maybe you ought to, because that's who you were. And yet, because of His love for you, He called you, chose you, justified you, has glorified you. He has cleansed you from all of your sins. And he has said, if you'll open, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. You will come to my table and you will continually feast as one of the king's sons. And the inheritance that Adam lost, I'll restore to you. That's the picture. And here is Mephibosheth. I would imagine that Mephibosheth, and as we read on about his life, I think I can show to you that he was very, very grateful of David and what he had done for him. Extremely loyal. I imagine if somebody would have sang a song about David and would have said, would somebody stand up and testify about the goodness of David? I think Mephibosheth would have done it if he could have stood. We have reason to praise the Lord, don't we? But do we really realize what He's done for us? I hope you do tonight. I hope you realize that you are no longer alienated from God. You are no longer strangers to the covenants of Israel. Do you understand tonight that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham? Do you understand tonight that only those who are faith are going to be blessed with Abraham? You want to know how Abraham was blessed? Read Genesis 24. He was blessed in all things. Are you being blessed tonight in all things? You ought to be. Your king on the throne, Jesus, has ordained that you would be blessed with believing Abraham by faith in him. Did you know that? Look it up in Galatians. What chapter? 1-6. Well, tell me chapter and verse. I can. But if you don't know, you need to read the whole thing. Who is a Jew? One that is circumcised with hands? You want to see a Jew? Behold a Jew. A Jew with the last name of Fletcher. I love the brother back there with his little thing on his head. I forgot what they call those now.
Yarmulke.
David said, I want to show Mephibosheth the kindness of God. And that's what David showed him. He showed him the kindness of God as he knew it. But I want you to picture something. Day after day, meal after meal, someone goes over to Mephibosheth's house. Come on, Mephibi. They pick him up. Maybe a couple of men. Maybe they had a carrier. And they take him in. And they take him over to the king's table. And set this crippled man down. And he sits. And he enjoys sitting at the king's table. And he sits and he enjoys the fact that he's got his inheritance back. But he's still a crippled. And the man who wrote, he sent his word and healed them, could not heal Mephibosheth. He was missing something. He was missing what Sister Coffey talked about this morning. He was missing a certain type of blood that was necessary. He was missing some stripes on the back of a fellow named Jesus. And you know what the Lord has spoken to me about this story? All across this world, and especially in America, there are Christians who come to the table and they praise their God and they thank Him for the fellowship and they thank Him for the restoration of the inheritance. And they sit there crippled. Week after week, they come into the churches, they come into the sanctuaries, and they praise their King for the restoration, and they praise their King for the fellowship. And they leave as crippled as they came in. Let me show you the downside of all of that. Turn, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 13. Something happened. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. That was David's son, in case you don't know. So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. The king, David, and all of his household left the city. David wasn't on the throne anymore. Go to chapter 16. Another interesting thing happens during this time that David is not on the throne, and Absalom has come in. Verse 1. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, where is Mephibosheth? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. So the king said to Ziba, here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, and Ziba humbly bowed before him, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Go to chapter 19 now, please. David, Absalom is dead. David is coming back into the city to retake his throne. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why didn't you go out with me? And Mephibosheth replied, my lord the king, my servant Ziba, to see me. I told him, saddle my donkey so that I can go with the king, for as you know, I am crippled. Ziba has slandered me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. Ziba has slandered me by saying that I refuse to come, but I know that you are like an angel of God, so do what you think is best. Now listen to what he says in verse 28. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I to cry out any more to the king? So the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. Let's look at verse 24 again. He'd not cared for his feet, trimmed his mustache, washed his clothes. Those are all signs of mourning. This man was mourning for his king. He was loyal to his king. In verse 25, David asks him, he confronts him, why didn't, when I was leaving the city and I needed you, why didn't you go with me? I had a kingdom that was being taken from me, and I was going out, and I was figuring out ways that I was going to take it back. Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth? Well, Lord, David, my servant deceived me. You see, when I heard it was going on, I told my servant to saddle a donkey for me, and I would ride on it, and I would go to the king. That's what I told him. And it doesn't say it, but you and I both know what happened. Ziba is a deceiver. Ziba is trying to figure out how he can get his land of Mephibosheth. And he says, my lord, you're a cripple. Master, you're a cripple. Let me take this stuff. And how easily Mephibosheth was talked into the fact that he was a cripple. Here's where it gets tough. Here's where you're going to be challenged. Some of you in this room tonight, if indeed not all of us, someone at some point in our life, mother, father, siblings, ex-wife, ex-husband, children, friends, school, classmates dropped you. You were crippled. In some area of your life, you were crippled. Your joy was crippled. Your confidence was crippled. Your sex was crippled. Somehow, some way in your life, you were crippled. And in that crippled condition, the king called for you, and you came, and you accepted his invitation. And you sit at the table and you rejoice being at the table. And you thank God for your inheritance. But there you sit crippled. And the king gets up and he leaves the table. And he says, you know what? There's gates of hell. Gates, plural, not gate. Gates of hell out there. Gates of seduction, gates of anger, gates of perversion, gates of rejection, gates of abandonment. And the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And we are going to go take them back. Come on, Mephibosheth, let's go. And the Zibas of our lives, the demons in our lives who have attached themselves to our crippled parts of our emotions, of our bodies, have attached themselves to us. And they have said, don't go. You're crippled. You can't go with the king and do battle with him. And we leave the church and we hear the sermons and we go, wow, wasn't that neat? Did you hear Brother So-and-so's testimony? Did you hear Sister So-and-so's testimony? Oh, God, how I wish you would use me like that. But, Lord, I'm crippled. I have this perversion in my life. My mama abandoned me. My father did unspeakable things to me. My ex-husband beat me and my ex-wife left me for another man. I'm crippled. Who am I? I'm a dead dog. Oh, I praise my Lord. I thank Him that I can sit at the table, but I can't go war with Him. And people, there's probably some like that in this room tonight.
Yes.
And beyond that, there are hundreds and thousands in the church just like that out there. I want you to turn to Psalm 7 that Sister Coffey quoted this afternoon. Just look at verse 2. Now let's look at verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion. I mean, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, rending me in pieces, while there is none to deliver. If David did not have some other warriors beside him, if they all had been like Mephibosheth, if they all had been crippled and said, I can't go because I'm crippled, I mean, old David would have never taken Jerusalem back. I mean, he wouldn't have. Do you know what the problem is, folks? We forgot something. David could not heal Mephibosheth. But I want you to turn to another scripture in Matthew, chapter 11, or chapter 21, please. Matthew chapter 21, verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Listen to me carefully. David could not heal Mephibosheth, but the Son of David can heal anyone. David could not heal lame Mephibosheth. David could not heal crippled Mephibosheth. The Son of David, Jesus Christ, can heal any crippling thing you have in your life. If you will quit sitting at the table and enjoying it so much and look down at the Son of David and say, have mercy on me, Son of David. Heal this that is crippled in my life. How many believe that? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Here's where deliverance comes in. Don't you think for one moment. Don't you think for one moment. Now, whatever's crippled in your life, don't you hear me. Don't think that a demon hasn't attached to that crippling area of your life. Because I guarantee you he has. This old thing about the demons can't cross the blood. Do we understand who we're talking about when we talk about the devil? I don't think Christians understand who we're talking about. We're talking about the guy that when Jesus Christ introduced the Last Supper, what we affectionately call the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, it was there with Jesus in the room at the supper, getting ready to die for the sins of the world. It was there that the devil arrogantly walked in and entered Judas. We're talking about a guy that respects the things of God zero. We're talking about a guy that tempted Jesus Christ. Left him for a short season. We're talking about an individual who said, you know, I'm a pretty good looking guy. I'm going to take my throne, put it up on the high side of the mountain of God. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And you tell me that just because you hope, this is the false hope, that he's not going to run and somehow attack you just because you wear a little cross on your tie clip or earrings, because you say, oh, the blood of Jesus, you tell, he could care less. There's one thing that he knows and one thing only. There's one thing that he respects, and it's the authority that comes in the name of Jesus Christ. When you submit to God and you begin to resist him by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus, because he knows that at the name of Jesus, every knee, including his, must bow. That and that alone is what he respects. If you think because you're crippled that he's not going to come in and kick you while you're down, you're silly, folks. And anybody out there that thinks anything different is just as silly. He hates you.
Amen.
He hates you. He hates you first as a creation of God, and he hates you secondly as a believer in Jesus Christ. He hates you as a son of God. He hates everything about you. He wants to destroy you. And if you think that crippled area of your life is just going to go away, it's not just going to go away. And let me tell you something, people. The reason why God wants you to know who you are in him and what he wants to do through you is for one reason and one reason only. Because never doubt this, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God, period. Make no mistake about it. And there are going to be people that he's given 5 talents to, and 2 to this guy and 1 to this girl. And there's going to be some people that are going to rise up in these last days, and they're going to say, I'm glad to be at the table. I am thrilled for my inheritance. But praise God, I'm going to war with my king. Those gates of hell are not going to prevail against me. And there's a lot of gates of hell out there, folks. Gates keep people out, keep others in. And guess who the gates of hell are trying to keep out? The children of God, the warriors of God. And Jesus Christ has told you, if you'll get up from the table, if you get delivered, let the Son of David set you free. Those gates will not prevail against you. You will bring down the gates of anger. You will bring down the gates of alcoholism that are in other people's lives. I will send you forth as champion and warriors of mine, and we will take back the kingdoms out there, all of them. If you will let me work in you and deliver you and set you free and empower you. When I was a boy, I don't remember being particularly angry. I don't remember when it happened, but there was a time that someone said to me, well, you're angry just like you have an anger just like your grandfather Fletcher. My grandfather was a Christian man. He was a farmer. He did not know of deliverance. I look back on it now, and I'm certain my grandfather had demons. He would get out in the field and he would do something like he would hit a rock with his little two-bottom plow, and he would get out and he would scream and go into a rage and just... And after the rage was over with, he would begin to weep. I have seen this. He would begin to weep and he would fall to the ground and he'd ask God to forgive him. He was crippled with anger. My folks used to say to me, "You have an anger just like your grandfather Fletcher." I don't think they meant anything by it, but you know what my folks did? They crippled me. They dropped me. They crippled me by saying those things to me. Those spoken words crippled me. And it wasn't until I began to find out about deliverance that I was really set free of that. I've had people come to me. I've heard people here. And a lot of people will say this happened and that happened. But I'm asking you tonight, where are you crippled in your life? Where are you crippled? I mean, really, where are you crippled? Why is it? Why is it that people come to this deliverance camp and they go back to their home churches, and if their home church does not receive deliverance, they give up? I'm not putting your home church down. But people, there are millions of people out there that have they're locked in behind the gates of hell. They're crippled. And you are empowered by God. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. I got to tell you a quick story. You know what salt does? Salt preserves things. I was in a restaurant one day, and it hadn't been that long ago, and it was at a Shoney's, and they had a breakfast bar, and I was meeting there with another fellow, and there was a fellow from Chicago, and he was on the other side, and somebody had taken all of the sausage. Now, this guy didn't know me from Adam. And he gives us, "Well, there's no blankety-blank sausage left." And he looked up at me, and I mean, he turned 25 different shades of red, and he said, oh, excuse me. "For all I know, you're a preacher or something." And he walked off. I've been in grocery stores, standing in line. This has happened to me many, many, many times. People that don't know me. And they would turn around. And maybe they'd curse or they'd do something. And they would look at me in a pause and say, "I'm sorry." Why would people do that? Because I'm the salt of the earth. That's why. I want to tell you something. Those of you who are gainfully employed on your job, one of the reasons why on your job some of the horrific things that are going on in the world are not going on in your job is because the salt of God is in those jobs.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And if you'll believe it, if you'll receive it, God will increase that salt. And He will increase the flavor of it. And He will increase the light. And the light will shine brighter. But listen to me. You've got to quit believing the lying demons that are attached to wherever you are in your life that is crippled, that keeps telling you, "You're crippled, you're crippled." Don't go out there and get in a fight. You can't go with King Jesus. You're crippled. Tell them in the name of Jesus to shut up and get out. My Son of David, my King, will heal me. How many believe that?
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to preach any longer, but we are going to do this.
Amen.
Oh, man, does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any comments? And I'm serious about this. I'm not the only teacher here. There's other teachers. Yes, Tim. You're welcome. Does anybody have any questions? Has God given somebody else? Said, "You know, as I was sitting, I was thinking about something else." I do this all the time in my church. Let me tell you something. I'm not the only one with revelation here tonight. I'm not the only one. We are all the children of God. We all have the Spirit of God. You know, I didn't come here to preach. I came here to give out a word, but I came here to receive a word too. And there may be somebody right here sitting here that has a word that may set somebody free. Are you going to sit there and say, "I think I do," and let the demon tell you on this side you're crippled, you're angry, you're this, shut up? Yes, ma'am.
The only thing I have to say what thanked me was when you said the devil hates our guts and wants to destroy us. What came to me was, "And shouldn't we hate him?"
David said, "I hate with a perfect hate."
And you know, I don't think we have that fervor about it. We need to hate it.
Well, you know what? I think we enjoy sitting at the table too much. and we have forgotten there's a war out there and there are people dying on their way to hell. And there are Christians that are living defeated lives. And we're sitting at the table.
Yes, sir?
We're supposed to possess the world. It's just like God told his people over in Jerusalem not to sell that land. They were to give it from one generation to the other. We're supposed to take the whole world and not sell any of it and leave it to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. And we've only taken a few square miles, as you call America.
Well, what are we going to do about it? You know where it all begins? It all begins with you saying, I'm not going to be crippled anymore.
Amen.
I'm not going to be crippled anymore. I told the Lord, I sat in my room and I prayed for about an hour, and I said, Lord, I'm going to dovetail, if you don't mind, on the back of Sister Coffey's message today about healing. Lord, I'm going to talk about this crippling thing, and Lord, I'm going to ask the people to come up and let the Son of David heal them. Lord, are you going to heal them?
Amen.
And you know what? It's not a question if he's going to heal you. It's a question whether you will believe that he's already healed you.
Amen.
That really is the question. I mean, folks, David couldn't heal him. David didn't have the stripes. David didn't have the blood. Jesus had not died for the sins of the world. He had not had his back opened up yet. Sure, there were healings in the Old Testament by the grace of God. But let me tell you, everybody that came to Jesus was healed.
Well, what about the man at the pool of Bethesda? There were other people there.
Jesus went to him. If those poor other people quit looking for some little demon angel stirring something up and going to Jesus, he'd have healed all them. Everybody that went to Jesus was healed. And you know what? He hadn't even bared his back to those stripes yet. Peter didn't say, by his stripes, you're going to be healed. He says you've already been healed. You know, it's not even a question of God's will. Will God heal me? It's not a question of his will. That's done. It's done. It's impossible for God to lie. God said, by his stripes you have been healed. If that isn't true, God Almighty is a liar. And what else is he lying about? Think it through. It's impossible for him to lie. Every jot, every tittle is inspired. It is absolute truth. And every jot and every tittle has got to be absolute truth. And God says, by his stripes, you've already been healed. Now, how many believe it is impossible for God to lie? Narrow it down. Get it in your spirit. Not up here like Sister Coffey said. It's got to come in here. You got to believe it's impossible for God to lie. I can be set free of these things. He says it's not a question of whether he will heal me. He says I've already been healed. I've got to receive it in here. And I've got to walk in my healing, period. And I don't walk it out up here. I walk it in here. How many... I'm serious. Are you serious about this? What? Let me tell you something. The Lord gave me this a couple of weeks ago. Think of this. Think this through. Bill Gates is worth what? $60, $70 billion? Imagine if his son was over here living in a shanty under some bridge out someplace up in Spokane, Washington. And every morning he'd get out and he'd walk around and he's dirty and unshaven, looks like any other bum. And he says, my dad is Bill Gates. My dad is Bill Gates. Aren't you jealous of me? And people would walk by and they go, uh-huh, right. They either would not believe him or you know what they would think? Well, I don't think much of your father. What kind of a father is it would let you have $70 billion and let you sleep out in a shanty out here under some bridge? And you know what a lot of Christians are doing? They're going, oh, this emphysema. Oh, my God. My God is a healing God. And people are walking by the unsaved and they're going, okay. Well, I don't think much of your God. Do you know what the Bible... Boy, you're a mean audience. Turn to Romans chapter 2 for just a sec. Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that? People coming to the altar crying, screaming, beating their heads on the wall. People running around saying, you dirty dog, you're on your way to hell. Don't you think you aren't? That's going to lead to repentance. Is that what that says? The goodness of God leads men. And you want to know what the word repentance is in the original language? I know, don't confuse me with facts. Anyway, metanoeo is a Greek word, and it means to think differently. The goodness of God leads men to thinking differently. You know what these lost people out here need to do? They need to think differently about God. They see God only as someone that's throwing down lightning bolts, sucking them up in the earth as it splits open. They do not know a long-suffering God. They do not know a God that loved them so much He died and shed His precious blood on the cross at Calvary. They do not know a God that has already healed them. They do not know a God that has prepared a place for them in heaven if they will only come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know why they don't know that? Because you know what? We, the ones that are the sons of God, the ones that bear the goodness of God to the world, that bear the light of God, that bear the power of God, that carry the torch of God, we're judging them, we're condemning them, we're glad they're sick, we're glad they're dying of AIDS, because you see, we're sitting at the table in our crippled condition, praising God that I'm at the table. And the King is saying, let me heal you, because I need to go out, because the spirit of Absalom is running wild through this world, usurping me at every turn. And I need an army. And I've called you one at a time individually, but you've got to let me heal that which is crippled in your life. Would you stand to your feet, please? What is there in your life that you're still crippled with? I don't have 30, 40 years in the deliverance ministry. I've got about 10. I don't have the knowledge. Glenn Miller has forgotten more than I know about deliverance. Mildred Coffey, Bill Noe, they've forgotten more than I even know about deliverance. But I know one thing, and I'll challenge anybody in this room and on planet Earth with what I do know, and this is what I do know. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of David and He's the Son of God. And I know He will heal anything that the devil has crippled you with. I know that as a child of God tonight, He will set you free, raise you up, and no man will have to carry you to that table anymore. But are you man enough and are you woman enough to quit putting on the show? To quit all the jerking and the herking? And get serious and come down here and say, I want set free of this sexual perversion. I want set free of this demon that has crippled me with my anger and my resentment and my fear all these years. What has the devil put a gate up around you and trapped you in tonight? There are Christians that are living in fear, and there's all kinds of fear out there, folks. Fear to take a chance on God. Afraid that somebody's going to laugh at them if they go forward to pray for someone. Afraid that they may not be recognized. I've got a message about changing our identities. We all have our own little identities that we have. Everybody I counsel anymore, if I have time, if they come to me for extended counseling, one of the first things I do, I always ask them, when you first meet people and they walk away, what do you want them? What kind of impression of you do you want them to walk away with of you? And there are certain things that everybody says. Well, I want them to see me as a good fellow, a loving woman, a compassionate person, a caring person. And then the family comes in. And each person has their own little list, but there are certain things that are, everybody has the same thing. Then the family comes in. And I'll call them in. I'll set the wife or the husband down, the children. Tell me about your dad. What's he like?
And so many times the family will say that dad or mom is exactly opposite of what they want all of us to see them as. When are we going to quit playing games? When are we going to quit putting up all the false little identities? I have people come to me at my church, and they'll walk up. We'll pass the offering plate around. And they'll come up after the service, and they'll, "Here, Pastor." And they'll slip an offering in my hand. Do you know why? Because they want to be recognized. Every human being has two basic needs. They want to be loved unconditionally.
Amen.
And they want to be accepted and or recognized. And you know what? I don't care if I have to wear my hair spiked up to here, green, as long as somebody recognizes me. Yeah, I'll come into a meeting and I'll walk in all, and I'll have my finest clothes on and I'll make sure everybody sees me. And then there are people that come in and they look like the cats drug them in. But listen to me carefully. That's their identity. They get recognition. You may say, why in the world? Because they have a need. You have a need. We have a need to be identified and accepted by people. And if they won't accept me, at least I want them to recognize me. I understand those things. Because you know what? I'm a human being like all of you. And there's not a person in this room that you don't have those needs. And we like it when somebody says, well, I hear he's one of the best preachers around. Recognition. But I want to tell you something, folks. I don't want that kind of recognition anymore. I want one identity. When people see me, I want them to see Jesus. And that's not some trite saying. I mean that. And some of us are crippled by a spirit of a marking spirit. So what do you mean a marking spirit? You know, the devil always counterfeits what God does. You read in Revelation, and God marks His people. And the devil has gone around with his marking demons, and he's marked people within the church with poverty, with being loudmouth. That's just, oh, that's, oh, sisters, oh, that's just the way sister so-and-so is. Marked. I'm a preacher. I'm ordained. Marked. Crippled by these identities. A lot of ways we're crippled. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, there are multiplied thousands of ways that we are crippled. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now to begin to reveal to everyone in this room, myself included, how we have been crippled and how we are still crippled. Son of David, heal us of these crippling things tonight. Son of David, we want to go to war with you to take the kingdoms back. Son of David, have mercy on us. We thank you for the table. We thank you for the inheritance. But we don't want to be crippled anymore. I don't want to be crippled anymore. I don't want to be crippled emotionally. I don't want to be crippled physically. I don't want to have some identity crisis in my life. Son of David, have mercy on us tonight. Where do you stand? Mrs. Coffey, could I ask you to come and stand with me, please? Mr. Humbert, could I ask you to come and stand with me, please? I want you to be real serious about this. Where you stand right now, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you, listen carefully to me, please. Don't fall in because everybody else has fallen in. You're even crippled by that. You really don't need anybody to pray for you because the Son of David has already healed you. But would you, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have an area in your life that you are crippled in, and tonight you are ready to say, for the first and last time, or for the last time anyway, I want this spirit off of me. I want this crippling thing in my life healed. I am going to go to war with my King. I refuse to sit at the table and play Christian anymore. I refuse to sit and enjoy the table of God while the world is going to hell in a handbasket. While brothers and sisters all around me are crippled just like I am, I'm going to rise above. And I am going to call out to the Son of David. And I'm going to get this thing that has crippled me off of me tonight. Are you ready to go to war for that? And has God specifically spoken to you something that you are crippled in your life? And you know, you in your spirit, you know it. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Everyone else, please sit down. I'm going to ask you folks to come up here and sit in these chairs up here, please. Patty, would you come here, please? Greg, would you come here, please? Glenn, is it all right if I dismiss everyone else?
You're in charge.
Here's what you can do. You can be dismissed, or you can stay. Listen carefully. If you stay, we expect you to be in prayer and warfare and calling upon the Son of David for these people, that tonight, not tomorrow, not again next year, tonight, they'll walk out of this place just like those people that walked out of that temple, healed of their lameness, of their blindness, of that which has crippled them. And I understand if you have to go, that's fine. But I'm asking you to leave quietly. But if you stay, I'm asking you to come forward a little bit and gather up around them sitting in the chairs to reach out your hand and begin to intercede for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, go with those who have to leave. Bless them, Lord. Grant them a revelation of this tonight, Lord. Bless their sleep. Lord, let them know. Give them a new understanding and revelation of who they are in You. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have to leave, would leave. If the rest of you would come forward and get in as close as you can, we would appreciate it. Now, this lady down here, I'm going to ask you to come to Brother Humbart, please. Patty, would you come and would you minister with him, please, with these people? This gentleman here, I would ask you to come to Sister Coffee. Greg, would you come and minister with Sister Coffee, please? And I'm going to tell you folks something. I don't feel like praying for anybody, and I don't think God's called me to pray for anybody tonight. Okay? I mean, you want to be set free, don't you? Okay. Come on, everybody, reach your hand out toward these people up here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What are you crippled in? 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you want to pray in tongues, that's fine. That's okay. We believe in that here. Thank you, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Father. Set them free. No more crippling. No more crippling. Every crippling spirit come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I speak to all the crippling spirits of these saints who are sitting here in this world right now. And I'm telling every one of you, you are coming out of these people tonight. You are going to set them free tonight. They are not going to be crippled by you any longer in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Father. We praise your holy name. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Free. You people that are being prayed for, start right now calling on the Son of David. Don't you be praying for these people. You be interceding for yourself. These people are doing that for you. You call on the Son of David. Have mercy on me, Lord. I want set free of this thing. I don't want to be crippled anymore. Call on the Son of David. Call on your Savior. By His stripes you have been healed. Don't walk out. Be determined. Be warriors. Be desperate. Don't walk out of this place crippled this night. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Father God. Come on, dear. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We give you glory and honor, Lord. We thank you, Father God. All glory and honor to you, Lord. Praise to you. Thank you, Lord. Free in the name of Jesus. Free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Won't you just begin to stand there with your hands raised up to your Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you come up, tell the people what you feel like you're crippled with. Let them know so they can begin to deliver you from that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Kilamason Korodo. Man Taramasi Karamasoro.
That's a whole big assignment. It all comes into that same thing.
And you start calling in there. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Praise God, I just called.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All those things that have been stolen from me.
Right. No longer crippled by it.
Amen.
You're free from it. I'm not crippled from it. Amen. I'm not crippled by that anymore. Say it, dear. Say, I'm not crippled by that.
I'm not crippled by that anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do you mind if we touch your hole?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's it. No longer crippled. Thank you, Lord. No longer crippled. No longer crippled. No longer crippled. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. You've forgiven yourself. But now do you receive your forgiveness from your God? Because you know something, brother? Forgiving yourself doesn't cleanse you from it. That's right. Do you receive your forgiveness? That's the most important thing. Your God does not hold you blame anymore. No longer crippled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. Come on, saints, intercede for these blessed people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Son of David. Thank you, my Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. We give you glory and honor. He's free. He's not crippled anymore. That man's not crippled anymore. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My, my, my. What a great God you are. What a wonderful God you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And those of you folks that have been set free that are no longer crippled, begin to pray for these people. Begin to reach out to them with your freedom. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. John. I want you to resist that jerking. You don't need that as an identity.
I know. It's kind of involuntary, though.
Okay. You resist it. Get set free of that thing.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Tell them you're not going to be identified by it anymore. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord, pray. Come on, people, praise your Lord. Begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. Oh, God, I praise you, Lord. I give you glory and honor. I praise you for what you're doing here tonight. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of God. Hosanna to the Savior of the world. Praise the name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you in all the firmament. We praise you above all the firmament and all the stars. You and you alone are worthy of our praise and our glory. For you are God. You are God. And we have no other God besides you. We praise you, Holy Son of God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. To the Savior and the healer of mankind. To the shepherd of his sheep. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Praise you, O God. Praise you, O Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No more cripple. No more cripple. Don't let a spirit of apathy come in over you. Come on, let's do some warfare here. Don't let a spirit of I come up against every spirit of apathy in this place, every spirit of passivity. We will not give up. We will not lay down. We will not be weary in well-doing. We will war for our brothers and sisters, and you are defeated, and you will leave this place tonight. They will not leave here crippled tonight by you any longer. Now, in the name of Jesus, we call out, and we bind off, and we cast out every spirit of passivity and apathy in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command you to go from this place now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send down warring angels, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you to begin to stir up a fighting spirit in everyone in this room tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody, come on, join in this thing. Join in this thing. Join in this thing. Join in this thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
I agree. It is. I agree. That's good.
Thank you, Lord.
Clement.
Oh, okay. Go minister with him. I guess you'd be good to minister with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother, come here. You come here. What's your name? What's your name?
Merlin,
I'm John. God bless you. Are you crippled anymore?
No.
Amen. Do you want to minister here with Kevin? I mean, with Patty. Come here, Faye. Come on, you can do it. You're not crippled, are you?
Well, no.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just tell them what you're crippled with. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Are you crippled anymore, sister? Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Faye, I want you to go over and let Mildred pray for you too, okay, if you don't mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else? Are you coming, sister? Come ahead. Come ahead. Come ahead. What's crippled me?
Bit of anger, and I have been told all of my life that I've been stupid and dumb. Can't retain what I read.
Now, who told you were stupid and dumb?
My mother.
Okay.
And my husband.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
You have the mind of Christ then. What the Bible says. Do you believe that?
Praise.
Oh, no. Just don't forget by experience. Will you receive by faith what the Lord said? You have the mind of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus stupid and dumb?
No.
If he's not stupid and dumb, and you have his mind, how can you be stupid and dumb?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Not by experience, by the word. You have a more sure word of prophecy. When I began to preach, I couldn't remember one scripture. And I thought, I'm sure going back to school or something. I had owned my own business for a number of years. And the Lord showed me something. I was trying to read the scripture. And I mean, I was trying to memorize scripture. I couldn't memorize. I mean, I couldn't get three words in my mind. Now, listen to me. Do you cook?
Yeah.
What's your favorite recipe?
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love,
what's that?
And of a sound mind.
Yeah. How do you fix it?
The Lord and the power of his
water,
mind.
And bacon grease, salt.
How much salt? Now, how could you remember all of that?
38 years of doing it.
But wait a minute, you're missing the point. You remember it. You've been lied to. The Lord showed me when new products would come. I own TV appliance stores in Indianapolis area, and the Lord showed me when new product would come in because I was interested in that. I would sit down. I would retain all of that. The enemy lied to me and says, you can't remember anything. You know, you're too old to remember this stuff. I was about 34 at the time and what have you. And you know what? I begin to realize if I can remember that, I can remember this. If you can remember a recipe, you can remember anything you want to. Sister, you've been lied to. You've had a curse placed on you by spoken words. Hand me my Bible, will you please? Can you read? Well, how can a stupid, dumb person read?
I can't spell it.
But can you read?
Yes.
I'm asking you a question. How can a stupid, dumb person read? Listen, they can't. I mean, they can't. Let me show you something. You ever heard the scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper?
Yes.
You ever heard the rest of it? Probably not. Most people haven't. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue, like your mother, like your ex-husband, which rises against you in judgment to sentence you, to say you are stupid and dumb. That's a sentence on your life. Every tongue, there's power of life and death in the tongue. They have brought death into your mind, into your remembrance, into your mind. And it says, every tongue which rises against you in judgment to sentence you, you, what's your first name?
Peggy,
you shall condemn. That word condemn means to call wrong. The Lord says, this is the heritage, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord. God has given you the righteousness. He's given you an inheritance. Including that inheritance is that you have the right to say, mother, husband, you're wrong. I have the mind of Christ. I am not stupid and dumb. And if you'll speak that out, and if you'll believe what the Lord has given you, and if you'll speak that out, you don't have to be crippled by that anymore this night. Would you like to be set free of that? Raise your hands to your God, believe Him, and repeat after me. Mother, is it your former husband or your husband? What's your mother? Say, mother, what's your husband's first name?
Harold.
Okay. Close your eyes. Mother. Harold. You are wrong. I am not stupid and dumb.
I have the mind of Christ.
How can I be stupid and dumb if I have the mind of Christ? You are wrong.
You are wrong.
You are wrong.
You are wrong.
Spirit of deaf and dumbness,
of deaf and dumbness,
of witchcraft,
of witchcraft,
of deceit,
of deceit.
I'm not crippled anymore.
I'm not crippled no more.
Leave me.
Leave me.
Get out of me.
Get out of me.
Loose my mind.
Loose my mind.
I am healed.
I am healed.
By the stripes of Jesus.
By the stripes of Jesus.
I shall go forth.
I shall go forth.
I shall remember.
I shall remember.
And I shall claim.
And I shall claim.
My inheritance.
My inheritance.
My righteousness.
My righteousness.
is the righteousness of God Almighty.
Righteousness of God Almighty.
He has given it to me.
He has given it to me.
Through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I have a sound mind.
I have a sound mind.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now loose her right now, devil, in the name of Jesus. Loose her, I said, in the name of Jesus. You are defeated. You're a liar. You have been called out. The word of God has been pronounced over you. You are defeated. And I call down the mind of Christ into this woman. And Father, I bind her mind to your mind in Jesus' name. No longer crippled by this lying demon anymore. You are a liar and you have no authority here and you have no right here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.